Hey, howdy. Anytime a liberal begins a sentence with, I think, there's a real issue because they can't just say, and hey, here's kind of a fun story for you. Twin sisters married twin brothers in a twin wedding, and they all lived together, the four of them, and now both of the women are pregnant at the very same time. So they were married by twin ministers at the same festival for twins in 2018, and the brides, of course, wore identical dresses and veils, and the brothers, of course, dressed in identical tuxedos, right? Don't ever try doing a DNA test on that to see who the father is. I mean, that would be kind of fruitless. Hey, kind of a fun story, though. Mr. President, on a very serious note, I want to offer you my very sincere condolences for the loss of your brother. Hey, I'm very sorry for you. He was a young man, 71 years old, not much older than me, actually. So it's with a heavy heart that so many people have in the U.S. and other parts of the world that they would like to pass that part of that heart heaviness over to you with condolences. A little silence there that should be appropriate because it's a very serious thing. I mean, you know what? Politics, money, all that stuff, it's all over when somebody dies, right? I mean, we're only here for a little while. We need to do what we can to make it a better place for when we leave. And then you look at all of the politicians who actually work towards doing the opposite of that. And you know, it's not very nice. And I'm thinking now in particular of Canada. You have the prime mistake there. He and all of his cohorts, they're recently big complainers about their lives being threatened. There are, I think, hundreds of people that unknown people that are threatening them with emails and graffiti and signs. And they're upset about that. And they're saying, you know, somebody has to stop this. Who would that somebody be? The police that you want to defund? But why are these people doing and saying bad things to you? It's because you deserve it. Nobody deserves to be treated badly, I guess. But maybe there's a message here. Maybe if somebody keeps telling you that you're a slob, maybe look in the mirror and look at your face and see where the food is. I mean, you know, there's a little more to this. Again, should people do that? Of course they shouldn't, but people are so frustrated and so exasperated, they don't have an outlet anymore. They don't know what to do. There's people with no money, they've lost their job, and every time they look around, they see you guys, the government, you're giving yourself raises, and wow, you're living the life, and that's a socialist society. Socialism is bad, it doesn't work. It does work. It works to make people angry, and they get pushback like this, because they don't know what else to do. For heaven's sakes, do your bloody job, and it'll get better. Eat right, and you won't have a mess all over your face. You know, then you look in the U.S. of A. You've got the vice president's election. You have a black woman, and that's what Joe Biden said. She's going to be a black woman. Well, right away, more than half of the population is prejudiced, right? Men, women, I mean, more than half. Well, half with regard to the female side, but then you get into the color side, more than 85% of all Americans, many of whom are very qualified to be a vice president, they're out of it. And so Biden basically is a racist, right? He is a racist. There's more. Biden is obligated to pick the best person possible. That's his job. It's his obligation. The best person possible is his duty. If he's unable to serve, the vice president, who's a heartbeat away from being the most powerful person in the entire world, the vice president, wow. You know, she becomes a leader in this case. I mean, so every day when she sees the president, if she was vice president, he was president, she's sadly happy, happily sad. I mean, are you still here? Because I want to be president now. I mean, one more thing. The Democrat Party, they actually voted against her. If you recall, she ran for the job that he now has. So was that a wise choice? I kind of think it was pretty dumb. But you know what? She's a bully. She'll stand up, and she is a communist through and through. I got to tell you that. You know it. But it's a little spooky when you think about how she got there, because it's not about the best person for the job. So right off the mark, Joe Biden has done a bad thing because he's obligated to pick the best person for the job, and he did not. Because the criteria was such that it was a limited pool, right? I mean, he needed a higher bar. This woman, Harris, her first name is under debate. Nobody knows what to say. Kamala, maybe. You know, she said when she was running to be the district attorney in California, she says, I will never seek the death penalty when I'm a prosecutor. And she says this, that the death penalty costs $137 million a year. I don't know where she gets that, because when he's dead, he's dead, and there's no more cost. But I guess if you keep him in jail for 20 years, would cost a lot of money, but $137 million, I find that hard to believe. And then she goes on to say that if you change the death penalty to life without possibility of parole, the annual cost will be about $12 million a year. That's too much too. Why would you do $12 million a year? But oh, do the math on that one. Wow, that's a lot of dough if the guy lives 20, 30, 40 years. I mean, and it's a punishment. Why do you punish people? He did a terrible thing. I mean, he's guilty beyond a doubt. Not even reasonable, beyond a doubt. He's a bad guy. You got videos, you got witnesses. I mean, you want to torture him like that and leave him in a little cell for the next 30 or 40 years? That's not nice. Put him down. I mean, for his sake, for our sake, for everybody's sake, $137 million. It's a whole bunch of inconsistencies there. And if all that rolled into the vice president's office, it wouldn't be very nice. Now you got the president saying this, President Trump, just the other day. He has now requested that the Secretary of State, actually, is the one that did the news release, but it comes from the president's office. The Department of Transportation must suspend private charter flights to all airports in Havana and Cuba. This administration will continue to target and cut the revenue that the Cuban government earns from landing fees and all the hotels and everything else that are owned by the state, because it doesn't help the people. And I've been saying this forever and ever. You can't go to Cuba. Every time I see somebody or talk to somebody who says, I just came back from Cuba, it's a beautiful place, I say, but you can't go there. You're supporting the system. You got to let that snake die. The head is off, but you keep putting it back on when you fly there to give that communist regime money, your money, the people. They're great people, but you know what? They don't get the money. And then you have a bunch of commies in Hollywood, and here they are. Jack Nicholson. I like him as an actor, but stick to acting, Jack. Don't talk like this. He says Fidel Castro's a genius. Whoa, look at him. Ah, that socialism works. Cuba will prove that. Chevy Chase. Ah, Castro is a very selfless and moral man. And he's one of the world's wisest men. Oliver Stone, that's another. Ugh. If you believe in freedom, you believe in justice, and you believe in democracy, you have to support Fidel Castro. Put that one together. And that's from Harry Belafonte. And here's one that really, really shocks me, because I liked him, Danny Glover. This is one of the most important moments of my life, when he was in Cuba. Danny, what's up with that? I mean, you've been in so many good movies, but here's the ultimate shocker for me. This guy says it was an experience of a lifetime to sit only 6 feet away from Fidel Castro, Kevin Costner. Ah, oh, Kevin. Kevin Costner used to be Republican. This is a rare, rare thing, right? And he moved over to the dark side. He's now a Democrat. He supported President Obama and many others on the left. He's now supporting the guy, that the mayor guy that ran for the leadership of the Democrat Party. And what happened to you, Kevin? Did you wake up on the wrong side of the planet one day or something? That's awful. I'm a big fan of yours. You know, Dances with Wolves and so many other things. And to find this out, which I just did the other day, that's crushing. That's kind of like when I found out that what's his name, Rock Hudson, was almost actual big, strong-looking man fighting other men, him and John Wayne in a movie, and then one day, he batted for the other team. Hey, just saying, gun control laws create gun crimes. Pretty simple sentence, right? Gun crimes create gun buyers. Gun buyers, since March of 2020, when unrest began, millions and millions of guns. Gun buyers are stepping up now, right? Over 2 million first-time gun owners who are mostly Democrats. Gun control is now person control. No police buy a gun. It's okay now because, you know, they want the police to be gone. So most of these new gun buyers, they're actually Democrats. The same people who at one time said nobody should have a gun, but now they're saying, things are kind of out of control here. We got bad people doing bad things, and they're coming to my neighborhood, and I got to protect myself. Duh. I'm glad you all came out of the ether. You know what? Commies, they want to take our guns away. But there is overwhelming evidence and statistics that show that criminals commit less crime after they've been shot. Hey, hey, y'all, come back here tomorrow. We're going to have more for you from the right. See ya.